Hello, I'm Badis, and welcome to the Implement Podcast. This is a podcast where we have great conversations about marketing, growing brands, and what it takes to be a great marketer. If you're interested in keeping up with the podcast episodes and the amazing content we produce at Implement, you should definitely subscribe to our newsletter. Just go to join-implement.com to subscribe. All right, enough self-promo, let's dive into this new episode, and thanks again for tuning in. Welcome everyone to this new episode of the Implement Podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of having Marianne Dagg, who is the Chief Marketing Officer at Perifit. So Marianne, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. Maybe before we start, could you introduce yourself a bit more to the audience?
Sure. Thank you, Badis, for having me in the podcast. So I'm Marianne. I'm 32. I'm a young mom of a two-year-old. I have spent the last 8 years at Publicis Media, the media agency in Paris, and I've moved to Perifit, and we'll talk more about what Perifit is in a minute, but I moved to Perifit to take on the CMO position just at the beginning of December 2020. At Perifit, what I deal with is leading all marketing and communication activities. So in charge of the e-commerce website, which is where we do most of our business, 90% of the business, e-commerce website, all of the communication initiatives, so all influencers, advertising, performance, all of that sits with me, and all distributors' activity as well. So the retailers, the wholesalers, Amazon is with me, all of that. And I also do a little bit of internal communication at Perifit as well.
Awesome. Sounds really exciting. So first of all, congratulations on the baby and being a mom. It's great. So I didn't know that. So congrats. Just a quick disclaimer for people listening. So actually Marianne and I know each other from Publicis. So I was actually working for someone who was working under you before. I think Sabine was, you were Sabine's boss, I think. And I worked for Sabine, and I have to say it was a really cool experience for me. So this is where we met with Marianne. So we're kind of catching up as well. So I didn't know about the baby, and congrats. Awesome. So could you tell us a bit more about Perifit maybe, and what you guys are selling, and tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. So in one sentence, Perifit, we are producing and selling a connected pelvic floor re-education device. Which means it's a connected probe, what we call a WAND, with sensors connecting with Bluetooth into an app that you have on your phone. And when you insert the probe into your vagina, thanks to a technology called biofeedback, you're able to see in real time how your pelvic floor contracts. And that helps you understand the quality of your contraction, your intensity, your strength, your endurance, the quality of your relaxation, etc. And it's kind of the connected Kegel exercises, as they say in the US or in the UK, Kegel. But also because no one likes to do Kegel exercises, let me tell you, as a mom and as a woman, it's incredibly boring. So what we wanted to do at Perifit is make it fun so that women would actually do them, those exercises. And to make it fun, we've created, at the moment, I think we have 9 games on the app. There's Mario, there's driving a car, there's Flappy Bird. It's literally a Flappy Bird on your phone that you can play with your vagina. So it's pretty fun. It's actually for good, because when you are interested, when you're committed with those games, you're actually training your pelvic floor more often and faster, and towards a higher efficiency. And why is that important? You're going to tell me, I mean, pelvic floor, it's only for women. It's only once in a lifetime, one after, you know, childbirth or, but actually it's not. It's estimated that one in three women in their lives worldwide are going to have issues with their pelvic floors. And issues with pelvic floor, weakened pelvic floors, they're actually quite serious. It goes from light urinary incontinence to prolapse, very serious prolapses, or limited sensations during intercourse. So it's very handicapping. It's very limiting in a social life for women to have those issues. Prolapse, it's estimated to be 30% of women are going to have a prolapse by the age of 50. It's the prevalence of these pathologies, it's enormous, and there was no fun, efficient, modern, connected way to treat these, and this is why PERIFIT is so successful today. PERIFIT, it was created in 2017, and it took a bit of time to grow, and 2020 was really the year when it grew immensely. Probably because so many people were at home, you know, having time in the comfort of their own sofas, and they said, okay, let's take care of myself, of my body. And so we grew by 500% over the course of 2020, and the beginning of 2021 is looking amazing as well.
That's awesome. Sounds like a really exciting problem to be solving. And a really exciting product.
Indeed. We have a few competitors, but none of them have taken that gaming, you know, gamification path as far as we have. And that's why PERIFIT is actually number one on the market at the moment. We have a very heavy skew towards the US and Canada. North America represents around 60% of the business. And we're Paris-based. We're a French company funded by two French engineers, two men, actually. But we do the majority of our business outside of France.
Yeah, it's... I'm just wondering about your target market, and you talked about women who just had a baby. Is that your main target market? Do you have other people you're targeting as well?
Yes, actually. So the pelvic floor, it works in a lot of different biological functions of the woman's body. It's the main stress that you can have on the pelvic floor, the main trauma really, is childbirth. It is by far the worst thing that can happen to your pelvic floor. Even if, I mean, childbirth, so natural childbirth, but also the pregnancy itself, even if you have a C-section, just having that pregnancy for 9 months, that heavy, you know, weight on your pelvic floor is going to be detrimental to it. So young mom post-pregnancy is indeed the majority of our users. It's probably around 60% of our users, but it's also only 65% of our users currently. The pelvic floor, it's a group of muscle. I used to say it's a muscle, but then I've learned it's rather a group of muscles. It's a bit of a hammock, you know, supporting your pelvic organs. And those muscles, they can be trained, but they can also weaken, even if they haven't had any trauma at the beginning of your life or throughout your life, they can weaken just by gravity or age. And so we have another who are just around menopause. So women around 50, 55, 60, who may or may not have had children in their life, just because age and menopause, the two aggravating factors of pelvic floor issues. And it's never too late to train your pelvic floor. It's never too late to rehabilitate your pelvic floor. Just like, you know, it's never too late to start running or to start, you know, to quit smoking. It does you good anyhow, even if you start late. And probably the last section of women that we speak to and who use Perifit, they're young women or elder women. It's really not a matter of age, but it's a group of women who both want to prevent any disorder, because you know, you never know what's going to happen to your body, and also increase your sexual pleasure, increase your intimate well-being, because the muscles of your pelvic floor, the muscles around, you know, your vagina, your vulva, and your anus, sorry for the blunt words, but that's, you know, what they are, they're the muscles who contract in an orgasm. So the stronger those muscles, the stronger the orgasms.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, it's, I mean, don't apologize for using anatomic words. It's totally fine. And so it's actually, it makes it really clear for everyone. So yeah, it's really exciting. And you said you've been there for just a few months now. So, you know, I know you come from the agency world, and you have experience, you know, working with large brands, established brands. How are you planning to touch all these target customers with Perifit? Like, what are your strategies that you want to put in place? Of course, like, you don't have to go too much into detail, but what are the key drivers of your campaigns that you're going to be launching soon?
Yes. Marketing hat on. Indeed. So Perifit, the growth of Perifit has been incredible. We went from 0 to 8 figures turnover in 3 years. And we did that. And I'm saying we, of course, I wasn't there at the beginning. But the team did that at the beginning, following a few principles, and probably your audience, they know about it if they're interested in, you know, startups and hyper growth. And myself, I didn't, so I learned when I arrived at Perifit. But there's this very interesting book called The Lean Startup, which is about continuous testing and reducing that cycle of testing to have very quick, very efficient tests ongoing throughout the life of your product. And so there's been some element, there's been actually massive elements of testing in driving Perifit's growth. So testing and failing and testing and succeeding, and whatever you succeed in doing, you scale it to the maximum. And then there's another book called Traction, and I don't know the writer's name by heart, but you'll Google it, right? Traction, it defines a theory of the bullseye framework, which gives a list of 19, you know about it, right? It gives a list of 19 channels for growth, 19 distribution channels. And it says, here are, you know, this an amazing list of things that you will want to try when growing a direct-to-consumer business. Do try them all, small test, you know, 1 month, 1K euro, 1,000 euros. And if one of them picks up, scale it. Put all of the money you can in that channel and then exploit it to the maximum and then move on to the next. And that's actually what we've been doing. There are a few channels that have been extremely instrumental in driving Perifit's growth. So now we've succeeded with a few of those channels quite immensely. And now we're looking for who, you know, what is going to be the next channel of driving hyper growth at Perifit. And that's how we think. And that's what I'm very busy trying to do. A little bit over a year ago, beginning of 2020, Perifit was actually a two people company, just the two founders. And now we're pro- probably around 15 scattered around the world, and we plan to end 2021 being probably 30. So that's quite a significant.
That's great. Yeah.
And marketing is going to be one key focus. And so at the moment, marketing is just myself, which is a big difference from, you know, running a 14 people team back at Publicis. And I'm you know, hiring significantly.
That's awesome. And I wish you guys a lot of success. It sounds really exciting. I just want to talk about the I think the key element of this kind of product, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is the kind of product that really takes off when there's a lot of virality and there's a lot of, you know, word of mouth and just, you know, communities of women sharing the, you know, their experience with the product. Could you tell us maybe if this is something you identified as the as a key driver of growth, and how are you kind of, you know, working that word of mouth and working that virality?
Indeed, you're right. But at the same time, you're right, because it has been very important at the very beginning, and it continues being very important. And we know it drives some growth, but it's been very hard for us to kind of lead that and master that, and, you know, being at the origin of it. What we see is rather that it's been done without the brand. No, it's done in parallel. And I can quote, you know, you can search it on Facebook. Typically, there are a few groups of women with groups named Perifit or Perifit Olympics, or there are a few, some of them almost 1,000 women gathering on Facebook groups that have not been created by the brand, are not animated by the brand, to talk about those intimate issues, those intimate successes, also because usually it's not something that you can talk about with your family or your partner, probably, but not with your mom or a friend that is not very close. So those group, this word of mouth, we know it exists, but at the moment we haven't found a way to really being at the origin of it. But it's fine at the same time. I think it's a decision that we are consciously taking, not to mess with that, you know, equilibrium, with that balance of women speaking by themselves, because also we're so confident about the quality of the product that usually it goes great. But other than that, just the joke aside, we do have a very successful referral program. We have a very successful affiliates program. We do a little bit of, you know, moderation. We do speak a bit on social networks and trying to animate those communities. But it's very, very, very much the beginning.
Yeah, and it's very organic. It's crazy that such a I'm going to say it because it's a small company. I mean, your guys are still a small brand, has this kind of expectation. You know, people are already building groups talking about you guys, which means to me it's incredible. Like, I've rarely seen a startup having customers build groups, you know, outside of the sort of the realm and the umbrella of the company to just talk about the product. So yeah, it's really exceptional. And I, you know, we talked about something we kind of mentioned before the interview, but there's so much demand, there's so much expectation for the product that, you know, you guys have to be really careful about what you say and what you promise. And so if there's, you know, there's so much expectation that you almost don't want to like disappoint people and kind of you know, oversell it. And so I don't know, it's how do you kind of manage this this expectation from the consumers? And you know, do you have any stories about this, any sort of messaging that kind of went wrong, and how did you cope with it and manage it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just coming back to what you said just a minute ago, you know how a lot of marketers say that we need, as marketers, we need to open our eyes and realize that people don't care about brands. It's crazy because I've been telling that my entire career, and you got, you ended up in a company where people actually do care about that brand. It's absolutely a marketer's dream come true. But yes, Perifit, it looks like a sex toy. You can Google it. It looks like a vibrator. A lot of misunderstandings around the product, lots of misconceptions about the pelvic floor. It's a very sensitive topic. It's discarded. It's laughed at. And whenever you try to kind of lift that taboo, to speak with objective words, to put science behind it, you're in a very sensitive area. The feeling of intimacy, when we were, you know, talking about those Facebook groups, you wouldn't imagine the level of intimacy that those women share. So you're right, you're absolutely right. There's a very high, there are very high expectations about a brand who decides to speak about pelvic floor, vagina, incontinence in women, all of that. So it happens regularly that we try, you know, to say something about a topic, publish a blog article, or send a mailing, you know, a newsletter, and that we are not progressive enough, or maybe not inclusive enough in the way we communicate. Typically myself, I've been, this is probably my first, which I felt as a failure, but actually, which taught me a lot. This was probably my first 2 weeks at Perifit, and I sent one of my newsletter to that big audience in the US. And I say, gift Perifit to one of the women you love. And I've been, and I've received very angry emails saying how not all women have vaginas or pelvic floors, and that not all people who with vaginas are women, and that it's not necessarily a terminology that a brand such as Perifit should be using. And at first you're, you know, kind of vexed. but then a bit ashamed as well. And then you realize that, okay, I'm here to learn, and we're here to learn collectively, and perfect isn't going to be perfect because it's made of human beings. And so, yeah, let's learn from it and not do that mistake next time. So what we're contemplating using at the moment is women with an X, as a lot of companies in the US start doing to be more inclusive. But it's you're right. It's difficult to be a very feminine and progressive and feminist company because you're not always as feminist and progressive as everyone would want you to. So we're learning. There's a learning curve, and we're, you know, aiming to be better every day.
Yeah, I guess it's the same for a lot of companies today. Like, you need to really tread carefully with what you say, and there's this whole sensitivity that is very new. And you know, it's not my place to say whether it's justified or not, but it's there. And as a marketer, you need to pay attention to it, and you need to be aware of it. And I think it's with your particular universe and in your particular target audience and the topics you're going to be talking about, it's going to be a real learning curve about, you know, what words should we use, what words shouldn't we use, but at the same time, you want also to your message to be heard and clear. And so it's going to be juggling with, I think, a lot of different different trials and errors there.
but also, let me tell you some kind of a silver lining to it as well. Highlighting some mistakes that we do, pointing the finger at a few mistakes that we've made. But at the same time, what we see is incredible. And again, I'm not sure so many companies in the world do see that. When we run typically a Facebook ad or an Instagram ad, and we end up with quite numerous comments that are, you know, laughing emojis or what the hell is that, or this is definitely a sex toy, this is, you know, tightening vagina, men bullshit. I've seen that one probably just the day before yesterday. And when those happen, there is so many women commenting back to that person saying, good for you if you're not concerned by that issue, but it's a proper, real serious issue and you should be ashamed of yourself and defending the product and defending the brand. So at the same time, there are, you know, backlashes for some mistakes that we do, but at the same time, it's so incredible to see women kind of, you know, answering, moderating themselves onto groups and onto comment threads. And let me tell you, you don't want to be a man commenting on a Perifit ad, because you'll get crucified.
I think you guys are sitting on sort of a very, you know, very hot topics, and it's definitely politically charged, and and I think I've never actually seen a company at such an early stage that has to deal with these kinds of issues, but I'm sure there are case studies out there. And, you know, if I think of one, I'll send you a link, or maybe you know about other companies that are small, but have such a politically charged and emotionally mm-hmm. charged product. And I think it's as you said, it could be also a gold mine if you're a marketer, because, you know, whatever you're going to say is going to trigger people. So yeah. Whether it's one way or another, it could be actually a whole, you know, opportunity as well. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's interesting because, you know, as a marketer, and as, you know, myself, I haven't been for a long time at Perifit. What I got to realize in those, you know, 3 months, 4 months that I've been here is how this company, it's still, you're right to say it's early on, and the tone of the brand, what we want to do with the brand, it's not written in stone yet. As a CMO, it's my position to make it happen, to forge it the way we want it to be. And so we're working on this. We're trying to identify, you know, what are the values of Perifit, what do we stand for? And I think we're pretty, everyone working at Perifit, we kind of know it. We've never explicited it before. So that's one of the exercises that we're going to do in the next few weeks. And then out of that, how do we transform, you know, the brand identity, the way the brand speaks, the articles that we want to publish, the topics that we want to address, to both be aligned with, you know, zeitgeist, the tone of the era, to be aligned with what's happening in society, but speak to communities, but at the same time stand up with our own beliefs and demonstrate those values. And it may be that sometimes we don't please some people because we say things that not everyone's happy with, but I'd rather it be more progressive than not enough.
Yeah. For sure. You're definitely on the right path there. And I mean, you come from a tradition of working with large brands with a lot of, we have, you know, a lot of a tradition of branding per se. Like they invented brands. Mm-hmm. Like some of the brands you've been working with have literally invented what it is to be a brand and have inspired others to be like great brands as well. So this is something that actually I was curious to ask you about is you've transitioned from working with these large brands to a smaller startup. I'm sure you're doing a lot more operational things now in terms of orchestrating campaigns, being much more tactical in what you do and in your day-to-day. You're still hiring a team, so maybe you don't have like a lot of hands on deck. So how are you kind of transitioning from, you know, high-level brand management to more of tactical startup, you know, operations?
Yeah, it's been a shock. I'm not gonna lie. It's been a heavy cultural shock. I've worked mainly for big luxury brands, French and Swiss. Those brands, they were, you know, massive marketing and communication teams. Ourselves at the agency, we were really significant teams. And I think I said before, I ended up being a business director in for one of the biggest clients at Publicis Media. Switching to a small startup and the marketing team at the moment is myself, only myself. So you're right, I do everything myself. And that kind of prevents you, you know, from hiding behind, you know, whatever reason you find to not be efficient. It forces you into the field. Whatever you have not done is because of yourself. So it's, you know, a good look in the mirror on who you are, what you do, what you believe in, what you're capable of doing. And it's been a bit of a shock, truly, in organizing my days, not having, you know, to report back to clients who set up the timelines and the deadlines, but setting up my own timelines, which I had never done before. So the schedule of my work days, they're just mine. I don't manage anybody. I just report to the president of the company who believes entirely in autonomy. So it's just really learning to use tools and prioritizing. And it's been really a matter of what is going to make a difference for the company? What do I spend my time? If I spend 1 hour on this, is it going to make a difference for the company? And this is a very satisfying way of approaching, you know, work. Also, I have very clear objectives, you know, quarterly objectives and yearly objectives that I set myself for myself, and which are aligned with the company's goals. And so it's very sound. It's very easy. It's very straightforward. It's just you and yourself and make it work. So it's been incredible and I love it.
It's a really an important step to sort of admit that there's a huge gap between you know, marketing for these larger brands and doing the tactical growth marketing startup, getting your hands dirty, all that stuff. That is like, it's such a different world. And so I'm sure you're obviously a brilliant professional, so I'm sure you'll handle it really well. But yeah, I think the key is really to just learn about whatever you don't know, you know, so you need to do that. And I'm sure you're doing that. And I'm also hiring people that are going to bring that, you know, I'm air quoting here, but that startup experience and bringing that operational value in terms of just getting tactical results, like every day, just getting that, that wheel rolling. And it's a very specific exercise that is, I know how, you know, these large brands you worked for do marketing, and it's so different from, you know, learning the basic stuff about okay, I'm alone. Nobody's going to help me. What do I do? What should I start with? And I need to run all this by myself. And so you need to learn about automation. You need to learn about building stuff yourself. You need to learn about delegating as much as possible as well. So yeah, and I mean, but it's an exciting experience. So what actually brought you to this? Like, you had a great job at Publicis. You had, I know that, and you are really like highly regarded. And so what made you transition like to a new experience, to something very new to you?
I think it's the millennial in me. I'm not that young, but I'm not that old either. But you know, that will to do something that matters, that we kind of all have within ourselves. Indeed, I had spent the last 8 years helping massive luxury brands sell very beautiful crafts, you know, amazing products, but also kind of useless products. And it kind of got worse when I moved from hard luxury, so, you know, the watches and the high jewelry, to fashion. And I mean, there are incredible brands who I work for. But I felt like I didn't, that if I kept doing that, at the end of my life, I wouldn't be proud enough. And I have also had for a very long time those very feminist, you know, values that I bring with me, that I started talking more and more about, that I started talking about in the workplace, that I started talking about with my team. And I felt like there was some kind of a disconnect between my professional life and the things I believed in. And that's when I thought, well, listen, maybe there isn't any job in the world who is going to help me reconcile both. But maybe there is. Should I be looking for, you know, one of those jobs? And Perfit, I mean, from the moment I discovered the project, I was like, wow, this is incredible. I do want to be part of that adventure. And I brought cookies that I made myself to the interview because I really wanted them to like me. I did all I could do to have that job because it was so amazing. It was literally the job of my life. And I'm not regretting it. It's just, you know, it's just so, so great to come to work in the morning and say, look, last year we've helped 100,000 women solve their incontinence. Voila, that's it. It speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's great. I wish you a lot of success doing all this. And I'm just writing down the cookie technique to bring to the interview for everyone listening. If you want. You know, there's nothing like getting back to the classics to make people love you. It's bring them food.
Yes.
So yeah, and I definitely understand when you talked about the millennial in you and sort of asking yourself, you know, why the hell am I doing this, and trying to find more, yeah, a better alignment with your job. And it's especially when you are a marketer, I think it's you're putting a bit of your soul, like I especially at the agency level, and you're mm-hmm. spending a lot of time. Agencies are very demanding of their employees, especially at the highest level. When you're marketing something, you're giving it a bit of your soul, and so if you feel like it's wasted, then it's you're in a bad place. You cannot mm-hmm. sell something you don't really like believe in, and so. So kudos to you for you know, challenging yourself and getting out there and doing something new. So that's really amazing. I think we should probably wrap up the episode. It's been time flies. We've been talking for a while now. So yeah, thanks, Marianne. And do you have anywhere we can connect with you online if someone listening wants to ask you any questions or follow what you're doing with Barefoot?
Absolutely. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Marianne Dag, very easy to find because I'm the CEO of Barefoot. You can, if you don't find me, you can, you know, search Barefoot on LinkedIn, follow it. And then you can follow me, absolutely. And anyhow, if you don't want to do that, you can always write to hello@perifit.co, and someone will pass that email to me. So feel free to reach out, no worries. Happy to talk about marketing, about women's health, about intimacy, about anything that helps change the world, make it a better place. For women especially, and to talk about, you know, marketing, networking, anything.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time again.
Thank you, Madis. Have a good day.